Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Super Bowl and talking all things NFL. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN. Mike, what's going on, man? How we doing?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you guys having me.
Appreciate you taking time to join us. And, Mike, we've got a lot to get into in the NFL, but I do want to get your thoughts quickly about the news the other day. I was so excited when I was scrolling through Twitter and I see the news that EA Sports is coming back out with a college football game at some point. Not going to be this year, but obviously that was met with a whole lot of reaction. I know you had some reaction as well to it. How big a deal is this in the world of college sports? And where do you see this going in terms of name, image, and likeness and the conversation around that with the NCAA?
Yeah, well, I think it's just that, the clever omission of the words NCAA from the EA Sports announcement, right? It was a college football video game in this, because I think they're reading the tea leaves on where everything's been going with all of this. They're looking 2 or 3 years down the road and saying, hey, this name, image, and likeness stuff seems to have a lot of support from people that are going to hold the NCAA feet to the fire. And so I'm sure they're anticipating a world where FBS, big-time Division I football, has even less, I think, association with the NCAA than it does now. And all of a sudden, the group licensing things that are available to leagues like the NFL with something like Madden will be available in college football, and they'll be able to make this happen. So it's twofold. One, we'll have the game back, which, for the growth of the sport, to reach younger fans, I mean, we've seen the foothold soccer has started to get in this country that I think goes all the way back to the FIFA video game and the way that took hold with so many younger players. But now you can bring that back with college football and the video game. And in theory, it seems like players playing the game might actually be able to put some coin in their pocket, which is always good for me.
Yeah, and we talked some about this before, Mike, and I think we are like-minded on this. But at this moment, what do you think about name, image, likeness, and where it's going? We're getting more troubling rhetoric from the NCAA, not surprising at all. But how do you feel about, you know, that situation right now?
Yeah, the NCAA kind of reminds me, you know, you see in like every train heist movie, there's that point where the train is barreling out of control and they're trying to hit like every emergency brake valve and it's just skidding towards the canyon. The NCAA is trying to use legality to stop something that they know, I think in their heart of heart, they no longer have control of here. And I won't pretend that there aren't specifics to this that the NCAA is dealing with. I know some good people that work in and around the NCAA, and there are really people that want the best for athletes and all of this, but the machine is the thing that I worry about. And I think ultimately they recognize that this is something that once lawmakers got in on the fight and once local and state governments got in on the fight, they were going to have a hard time controlling. And so I think they smell the beginning of the end.
Mike Golic Jr. From ESPN on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Mike, obviously looking ahead to the big game coming up on Sunday between Kansas City and Tampa Bay. Let's start with Tom Brady and this side of things. 43 years old, his first year in Tampa Bay, and he gets them to the Super Bowl. Obviously, I mean, a ton of accomplishments for Tom Brady, widely regarded as the greatest quarterback of all time. Where does this season and the ability to get this team to the Super Bowl in his first year rank in your mind in terms of the accomplishments that we've seen from him, especially given that he's done it at the age of 43?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be like a top three, top five kind of deal for Tom already, because I think we can counterbalance a couple of things. He walked into an offense that we saw could hum. We saw that going back to last year, and Todd Bowles and that defense took a big step, you know, last year, and we're a top five defense in a lot of ways. But overall, he came into a great situation. But to make all of this transition during a year where they weren't going to have a normal offseason, you had a completely disjointed summer and fall camp leading into a year where we watched them go through growing pains in real time. But to do that in a division that had been dominated for so long by New Orleans, to take their lumps against that team in the division during the year and then get the win when it mattered in the postseason, I think seeing him be able to work through these things in real time is such a testament to the things that players and teammates have always told us about Tom Brady. But to see outside of that New England Petri dish, to see outside of the situation with Bill, that it always looked like such a well-oiled machine, I think kind of a reminder that players like Tom Brady were going to be great no matter where you put them. But the New England format and him combining with Belichick netted us a legacy that probably won't ever get touched.
So, Mike, how concerning are the Chiefs' injuries up front? How much do you think that impacts what we see Sunday?
I think based on what we saw in the NFC Championship game, incredibly concerning, right? And what the Packers failed to do, I think, is where the Chiefs will differ, is the Packers, when their backup linemen were in that game, no David Bakhtiari, they had to shuffle guys around like they had for a lot of the year. The four-man rush ate them alive, and I thought it took them far too long to adjust. I think Kansas City offensively does a lot of things that are naturally going to help their tackles. If you've got to move Mike Remmers from right tackle to left tackle because of that Eric Fisher injury and kind of adjust along the way, think about all the jet motion they do, all the fast pieces outside of just Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Pringle, these guys that they can use to spread defenses east and west. I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of those jet motion handoffs go for big plays, but at the very least be big parts of the offense early. Because now if you're Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett, you got to think a little bit more. You're already going against an offense that you know has speed to burn in almost every position, and so they have to make them think a lot early. That's the best thing I could ever hope for as an offensive lineman, is that our offense did things to make the defensive linemen stop and think. Because they're NASCARs. They want to go. They want to turn and burn and get towards the quarterback. And so I think Kansas City's offense, just in what they do normally, trying to give you all sorts of eye candy, I think they can do a lot to help this offensive line out.
Mike, are we watching the birth of the next dynasty in the NFL in terms of the Chiefs? I mean, it looks like with Mahomes, as long as he's under center, they've got a chance to win each and every year. Is this the next dynasty in the NFL, in your opinion?
It should be, yeah. I think it's a combination of things. Because remember, the Patriot tentpole was about, you know, it was Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady kind of being the things that held up that entire organization. Because when you've got those groups working together, a lot can be possible. And now you're dealing with a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes that is markedly more physically talented than Tom Brady. Like, that's not even close what we're dealing with as far as the gifts that he brings to this. And so what you've got is now the long-term stability of that. And I think a formula that they can continue to replicate. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are the other difference makers on offense. They're markedly better than most people at their position. But the rest of the speed, the way they've been able to scout and find players that fit what they do and then bring them into the understanding of that organization, you can keep replicating that over the course of years while having to pay out really top dollar kind of money to only a handful of spots in here. And I think the Chiefs have a really clear understanding of their identity. And for that reason, yeah, it seems like they've got, you know, barring injury, like we always say, everything you need to make this thing sustainable.
So we'll get through this game Sunday, Mike, and then we get back to the real fun, which is the quarterback carousel of the NFL. Incredible offseason that has already begun. I'd like to get your analysis of the Stafford, you know, the Lions-Rams trade, and then what you think about the Deshaun Watson situation and where that ends up.
Yeah, so the Stafford trade is really interesting. I am a huge fan of Matthew Stafford. Like, as an offensive lineman, he's everything you want. Quarterback. I mean, that guy has gritted his way through more injuries, made more unbelievable plays. Like, he's a gamer, he's a warrior, he's all those things. But it's also the situation he's walking into. Detroit spent the last few years trying to get him killed. Like, just look in 2020 alone, the Rams were seventh in the percentage of plays using motion before the snap, something we see players and teams do all over football that helps them out. Lions were 20th. The Rams were first in percentage of plays with seven or more pass blockers. The Lions were 21st. Like, for Matthew Stafford, that got sacked 42 times, I believe, last year, he's already going to walk into a situation that just with those two things is going to keep him upright a little more. And now you throw in the rest of that offense with Sean McVay that does such a good job scheming players open, that helped Jared Goff become a much better player than we saw in year one. And I kind of admire the strategy the Rams use. They continue to swing big. Now, they miss, and they've handed out some bad contracts, but they definitely continue to swing big. And with a team this close to a championship window, that's all you can really ask for, I think, as a player or a fan, is for your organization to keep going all in on something like this.
And what about Watson?
I think with Watson, Miami still seems to be the most natural fit. I know Miami and the Jets have a ton of capital, but I think that Jets roster is just way too far away at this point for Deshaun Watson to want to sign up for a rebuild. I still think he ends up getting moved. I know that Houston's come out and, you know, Cesario said we have no intention, 0% chance of moving him, but That's fine to say now and a lot different when we're getting towards March and all of a sudden you're going to have to reconcile, because it sounds like Deshaun Watson probably going to be in the kind of mode where he's not going to show up and make this easy on Houston based on what we've heard already. So I'd imagine he gets moved, and I'd imagine Miami makes the most sense. They showed last year they're closer than we gave them credit for when they signed Brian Flores to that six-year contract and that long road ahead. That long road got sped up, and no disrespect to Tua Tagovailoa, but if you can get a Deshaun Watson in there, all of a sudden you have a chance to challenge the Bills for a division that's wide open for the first time in two decades.
Mike, last thing for you here. Speaking of that division, how do you think Bill Belichick feels right now watching Brady playing in this game? And obviously you look at the Patriots, their offense this year was just abysmal at times. What do you think the future looks like there? Should Bill Belichick try for a big move, maybe try to bring Deshaun Watson to New England?
Yo, listen, I think they should absolutely be throwing their hat in the ring on the sweepstakes. Now, we just saw some of the reports about Stafford not necessarily wanting to be there and go to a place that is world famous for being as strict a regime as we know they run in New England. And so you wonder if Deshaun Watson, who lived under the sort of B-list version of that for the last few years, is going to want to sign up for it. But I'd imagine New England tries to swing for something like that. I don't know if Bill is going to be in this for another rebuild and having to grow a quarterback from the ground up, but I would imagine they're not done. Bill was pretty candid about their cap situation, about what they'd been dealing with in prior years, at the end of the Tom Brady era there, how they were trying to piece things together with minimal flexibility. Now it seems like they've got a lot more of that, and I'd still say Bill Belichick and the Patriots, knowing how, you know, the ingenuity they've displayed in the past, I know they're going to be a dangerous player this offseason. I'm excited to see what they do.
Mike Golic Jr. from ESPN has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrug. Mike, appreciate so much you taking time to join us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Mike Golic Jr. here on Robbie and Rexrug. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Mike had to say there. Look ahead to the Super Bowl and get back to your text on the Titans as well. A lot of new numbers on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Appreciate you guys texting in and participating here on the show. If you've never texted before, give us a shout. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Hey, we know you're going to watch the big game this Sunday, so do you think that you have what it takes to predict some of the game outcomes? If you do, play Super Picks now at thegamenashville.com. You predict the answers for the game questions that we put together, and the person that gets the most correct will win a large RTIC cooler full of prizes. Get your picks in now for Super Picks, sponsored by Boom Boss, Craft Pizza, and Tap House at thegamenashville.com. Contest will close at the scheduled kickoff time. You must be 21 or over to enter the contest as well. So make sure you check that out on thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Borth,
that would be an Arctic cooler.
Arctic cooler?
Yes.
There's no A in it.
I think on purpose. It's just the name of the brand.
Look,
Arctic.
I'm like Ron Burgundy. I just read, man.
Go bleep yourself, Nashville.
What a movie. For, you know, as largely stupid as that movie is, it's very enjoyable.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And if you like that movie, you might like a movie called Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
Have you watched that yet?
No, I haven't yet. I need to check it out. if it's like Anchorman, just watch Anchorman.
Well, it's not like Anchorman, but, I mean, I can actually go to Porth on this. It's hilarious, right? Tommy Boy?
Tommy Boy, oh, yeah.
An absolute essential movie.
It's a classic.
Movie.
I said RTIC. Oh, man, sometimes I'm stupid.
We're all stupid sometimes.
Welcome back into 1025, the GAME.
Yeah. Hey, man. Y'all love those Arctic coolers. Oh, man.
I would have done the same thing.
Well, it's comforting to know that you're with me.
Yeah, so that should make you feel great about things.
Thank you. Very good. We talked to Sam Mellinger earlier in the show from the Kansas City Star.
You want to say his name as
I want to say it as many, many times as possible to try to redeem myself here. What do you think? So we haven't really touched on this story yet. So Daniel Kilgore, you've got some Kansas City players waiting to get their hair cut, and this barber has tested positive for COVID-19. He hadn't got his test results back yet. And like mid-cut, he gets it back. There are 20 players, by the way, including Patrick Mahomes, waiting to get their hair cut by this guy. That, I mean, good. God bless Kansas City for pulling the plug right after that as soon as they found out. But to Sam's point, like, why is he in there cutting hair? if you don't have his test results back.
It's incredible.
Like, they were so close to a disaster here.
Millions spent, so many hours spent trying to make sure everything's good. We talked about, well, maybe the NFL will do, like, you know, do the bubble for the whole playoffs, or at least maybe the Super Bowl, right? Bubble them up. And you have a situation like this? How? How does this happen?
Yeah.
It's incredible. And so let's say that they, you know, he didn't get his results until later, and then you transmit it to a bunch of guys, including Mahomes. What happens with this game? Like, Mahomes tests positive.
Yeah.
What happens?
Chad Henne to victory, baby. Come on.
You don't think they would have postponed the Super Bowl?
No. You can't do that.
Man.
Team's dealing with that all year long, and now you decide to postpone a game?
It's the last game. I mean, look, I know a lot of people still watch it because of the commercials, but I think I would just watch the commercials if it was Chad Henne quarterback in this
game.
That's
fine.
Like, flipping around during non-commercial parts.
I mean, you made the Cleveland
Browns.
You made the Cleveland Browns go out and lose to the New York Jets because they didn't have a wide receiver on the field. You can't just start changing the rules now.
Well, except it's the biggest star in the NFL in the one game that's left.
Well, if that's the way you're going to operate in the year that you're the NFL, why have rules?
Because you're smart and you want a real Super Bowl.
I hear you. I'm just saying.
Because
if that's the way you're going to operate,
what would you do?
You're just
for
making
us?
Crap up on the fly.
Great question. That's what they do. They've been making crap up on the fly all year.
That's what I was about to say.
I mean, like, Titans were, like, you know, the public enemy number one, and then all of a sudden, all the stuff that was happening here is just sort of like, yeah, okay, it happens.
I don't think the NFL would move the Super Bowl.
No.
As unfortunate as that would be, with everything in it, I don't think they would move the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
I just don't.
Boy, they should have.
Maybe you should just have more faith in Chad Henne. Has he not displayed enough to you already in this postseason?
I covered 4 years of Chad Henne as a college quarterback. Seen enough.
Okay.
Does it make you go on to, you know, have some Henne?
Jeez.
All right, I like that dad joke. Sometimes your dad jokes are
all right.
It's
time for you to just walk out of the premises. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian text in, keep Ron Burgundy in check over there. Remember, he'll read anything that you put on the teleprompter.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to live that one down. That was good. Appreciate it. Thanks, Brian.
Did you say, do we have some other texts?
Oh, yeah,
earlier
we got some texts. Yeah. There's one I really want to get your thoughts on from TD in Nashville on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hey, Rex Road. Can the Titans be like Dan Fouts' Chargers back in the day, score a boatload of points with the offensive theory of our defense won't stop you, but try and catch up with us? I always took the over in a Chargers game. Probably a good call there by TD.
Nice.
By the way, Dan Fouts joining us here on the program tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that conversation.
Very exciting. And I appreciate the Chargers reference. Yeah, the Titans basically were like the Chargers. Derrick Henry a little bit more effective than Chuck Muncy, although he was a very good back in the early 80s. But basically, that's what the Chargers were. They were, if we can outscore you, we'll beat you. Didn't have a lot of D.
Yeah.
No D in Chargers.
That is true. Rex Road, you made a comment earlier in the show that if, like, somehow the Colts wound up putting together a package and got Trevor Lawrence, which we both think is not going to happen, but if they did, even that wouldn't scare you as much in his rookie year if you're the Titans
right.
going up against the Colts.
Yeah, rookie year.
Got a text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, if you think a rookie can't do damage against the Titans, just look at the Bengals game.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow lighting them up.
I'm not saying they absolutely would beat that team with Trevor Lawrence as quarterback. I'm saying I still would consider the Titans the favorite in a 16-game season to win the division. Yes. Last year, Joe Burrow, very good player. And other than, like, Nick Foles, what quarterbacks didn't look good against the Titans last year?
Yeah, I was about to say. That list is long. That's about it, man.
I'm coming up. I mean, I guess who the heck?
Chase Daniel got in for a little bit of action late in the Lions game through a pick. He didn't look great.
Right, but I mean, there's an example. Lions were awful. Stafford looked great. You know, who was the Jags? The Jags, they went back to Minshew, but they had, was it Mike Glennon?
Mike Glennon.
Okay.
Yeah, he wasn't great.
He didn't look great again. But the list is short. So, yes, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence would come in and the Titans would lock him down, but I think the favorite in the division would be the Titans.
Wow.
You don't think so? Like, if Trevor Lawrence were the Colts quarterback
this year. I mean, look, if Trevor Lawrence comes in and is great right off the bat, which I think there's a chance he is, yeah, I think they'd be the favorite.
Okay, but you said if. You said if.
Well, sure.
Before you know what he's going to be, you'd pick the Colts?
I have to see what the Titans do on defense. But, yeah.
Okay.
You know, if you're trotting out Brooks Reed next year, yeah, I'll pick the Colts.
Hey, let's not disrespect Brooks Reed.
I know.
Do not disrespect Clay Matthews 2.0.
I know. I shouldn't have gone there. I'm sorry. Sorry, Brooks.
This is a...
Some clutch performances in the last couple of games.
Is this like long flowing hair, you know, jealousy?
Yeah, it could be. It could be a little subliminal messaging there. That's for sure. Oh, man. We brought up Belichick there with Mike Golic in the last segment. What do you think the Patriots do? Because I agree. Like, I don't think Belichick's just going to sit here and wait on a total rebuild in New England. Obviously, Cam Newton is not the answer. So what do you do if you're New England? Like, I agree. I think they're going to put their hat in the ring for Deshaun Watson. I think a lot of teams are going to do that. So if you're not able to get him, what's the next route if you're New England? Like, you drafting a quarterback and hoping he's really good right off the bat? I mean, that's... I don't know how down Bill Belichick is going to be for that.
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to do something. Because remember, all last offseason, actually, we talked about Cam, you know, that could make sense. And it looked like it wasn't going to happen, and then it happened. I got to think it's a veteran option for them, too. I mean, where are they picking? I don't have it right in front of me. But you know, are they going to move up to try to get one of those guys? Maybe if they absolutely love one of those guys. But I've got to think that it's a free agency option. I just don't know what out there does enough for them. They have, you know, they have issues beyond that on offense, as we know. So, but they've got to upgrade. I mean, I just think Cam is – we talked about Carson Wentz. Cam Newton, same thing to me, a guy who's been beat up so much that he's not the same player. I think the same thing at Carson Wentz. Maybe both will still, you know, prove me wrong moving forward, but that's what it looks like.
Coming up next, we'll dive back into the Nashville Predators. Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, joining us to talk about that. That's coming up. But first, I got to tell you again about my friends at FanDuel, and you can celebrate the 55th edition of the big game coming up this Sunday with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. And if you've never tried FanDuel before, now's the perfect time. New users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when Tampa Bay takes on Kansas City. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game coming up on February the 7th. I've been betting on football on FanDuel all season long. It's been very easy to use. They get you your money in as little as 24 hours. And, of course, it's the Super Bowl, so you've got some nice props available to you in this game as well. Rob Gronkowski, over under for passing yards at 31.5. Mike Evans, the over under is 63.5. Maybe you like Mike Evans a whole lot in that situation for Tampa Bay. You've got that option on FanDuel Sportsbook. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code Rob to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Rob. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus of $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. Looking ahead to the game for the Nashville Predators tonight, taking on the Florida Panthers. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And bring in Preds radio analyst Hal Gill, presented by Duncan, featuring their new location in Belle Meade, and TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with 5-star service. Skillsy, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. Just getting ready for this game, trying to study up a little bit on Florida, because this is not going to be an easy game. I would have said it earlier in the season, hey, we got Florida, we'll beat them. It's not the case right now. This is going to be a tough one.
As you mentioned, Florida off to a 5-0-1 start on the season. Patrick Hornquist, Predators fans very familiar with, 5 goals already on the season. Skillsy, just from the Predators' point of view, where do you think they are right now? Obviously 4-5, up and down to begin the season. What do you see when you watch them play in their last couple of games?
Inconsistency. I see a team that's right now they're – I don't know if it's a lack of confidence in what they're trying to do or just maybe what they're doing and they're just a half step off. But in the NHL, against good teams like Tampa, if you're a half a step off, it shows up big time. And I feel like they're stuck in the middle. You know, they're not really working as well as they can as a unit of 5 up and down the ice, and it's costing them. You know, they have to move the puck quick and support the puck quick. be open for each other. You know, I talk about team speed all the time, and they don't have it. And it's not just how fast can this guy skate. It's how fast can a team skate and move it up the ice. And that's where I think they need to get better, you know. And I think their game will come together as that.
Yeah, so how, you know, when you play Tampa Bay, obviously, I mean, you know you're up against the defending champs and a team that's just so loaded with skill. But also, like in those games, you watch Tampa Bay's power play and just how fluid they are and how they just seem to have a feel for, you know, making quick decisions sometimes. But if they set it up, they just seem so connected and like such that they have such confidence. And then compare it to the Preds' power play, which, you know, we feel like should be more productive. They have a lot of talent, but maybe, I don't know if the word is mechanical a little bit. Like there's maybe, like you just said, a half step late. Maybe it's some of that. Like they're just not quite sure of what they're doing. How big of a, am I looking at that correctly? How big of a gap do you see like between those two things, and how can the Preds get to a better place there?
Yeah, mechanical is a good word for it, but I feel like when a power play struggles, and the Preds have had struggles with the power plays for years, and I feel like as a skilled player, they're going out there trying to do the skilled play. And a lot of times, it doesn't have to be skilled. You have one more guy than the other team. Pass it, pass it, pass it, shoot. You know, I always say the hardest power play to kill is one that passes two or three times fast and then shoots, and the battle's on. And that's why I think the Preds need to show their skill is pass it, shoot, and then battle for it, make the plays out of the chaos that is going to be in front of the net, get the goalie out of position. For the most part, penalty kills are so good at predicting where they want the shot to come. It's after the melee that it's hard to kill a penalty because it becomes a battle and you're outnumbering them. And if you can outnumber a guy at the net and get a rebound, it's a two-on-one, that's how you're going to score your goals. And that's what Tampa did. They kind of stretched this out and they can move it. That's certainly what Dallas did. And move it quick and then battle for pucks. So I think the Preds can do that. They just have to simplify it. And sometimes that's hard. When you're a skilled player who's under the gun to score goals, it's hard to just throw it at the net or pass, shoot. You know, you want to make the pretty play. You want to score goals, and it's hard to change that mentality.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on with us here on Robbie and Rexrode. And Hal, you could sense some frustration from John Hines after the game the other night, talking about the penalties and the amount of penalties that the Predators are taking. I'm curious, from your perspective as a former player, what's that balance like of, you know, your team's taking a lot of penalties, and you're trying to play aggressive out there, but not overly aggressive to the point of taking penalties. But you also don't want to be soft out there either and just get run over. What's that balance like, trying to defend that way when you know your team's had penalty trouble?
It's miserable, and it's especially miserable when you're losing, because what do you do when you're losing? You try harder. And the second you try harder, you're taking a penalty. You know, It's kind of counterintuitive. I remember when they changed, I guess it was the 05 year, they changed the rules, no hooking and holding. And I remember just saying, I have to give up. Like, if this guy's coming out of the corner and I can't, you know, back in the day, I just turn around, grab him by the shoulder and throw him down. Now I have to let him go. If I used to grab him on the hands and hook him and then catch up with them. Now you got to let them go. And that's it's so frustrating. And I see that happening a lot with the guys. Like, you know, guy will make a move and they don't quite have body position, so they throw their stick out there, one last effort to try to disrupt the play, and they're getting called for it. And so it's really hard mentally to handle that, where you say, okay, I can't try to get them. I have to rely on my teammates to help me out and shrink around the net and bail me out of this mess until I can get back in the play. And that's what I think the Preds need to do is suck it up, rely on your teammate, get back in position. Don't reach out. Don't do that. I mean, how many times have we seen the parallel stick? And it's so, I hate the call because it's just a one-handed slash or a one-handed hook, but they call it. And so you got to play by the rules. And that's a rule I'm not necessarily a huge fan of, but it's still a rule and you've got to play by it.
So, Hal, we spent a lot of this week talking about Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, obviously two guys. This team, you know, needs more production from them. What are you seeing with those two guys?
Yeah, it's funny. I heard you on with Coach Richards this morning, and you know, interested to hear his thoughts because, you know, there's a certain point where the guy has to do his job. He has to score goals. As a coach, you never sleep. These guys never sleep. They're thinking, how can I get this guy to a position where he's confident, where he's shooting, where he's scoring goals, where he's getting assists? How can I get his teammates to support him? Who's the best teammate to play with him? There's so many different tweaks and things that the Preds are going through right now as a coaching staff to try to get Duchene going, to try to get Johansson going. But Duchene had a point-blank opportunity right in the top of the crease, and he throws it over the net, and it's got to be so frustrating. I was never a goal scorer, but when it runs dry, you know, it's just natural. You squeeze a stick, maybe you overthink things, and you're just waiting for that first goal to come and get that confidence. And then, you know, it usually goes, it comes in waves. You get some confidence off a goal, but you have to work hard to get that goal. And that's the challenge. And I think those guys are. They're working hard. And so I'm hoping, you know, as a Preds fan, as a Preds analyst, I get to talk about these guys and how hard they worked to get that first goal, and then they started snowballing. So that's what I'm waiting for. I know a coaching staff is doing the same thing. But, man, it's a lot of hard work to try to get to that position where you can get confidence.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, presented by Duncan and TriStar Moving. Hal, as you look at the team as a whole, how important is getting that first goal? That's been a struggle for the Predators so far this season. In terms of playing with the lead and establishing your system in the way you want to play, how important is that first goal from a player's point of view?
Yeah, you know what? I look at the coaches. They're constantly going to say, you've heard it a million times, we're not worried about results. We have to worry about the process. If we worry about the process, the results will come. Well, yeah, the process is a lot easier when you score the first goal. You know, it's if you give up that first goal, you have a hill to climb. And so I think the biggest thing, and really where the Preds need to go, is don't worry about scoring the first goal. Just worry about not giving up the first goal. And I think that's kind of the mentality that they should have the whole game until their scoring comes around. If you feel like, you know, Duchene and Johansson are buzzing and Forsberg is dumping it in the back of the net, like it's nothing, Arvidsson is humming, then go ahead and play run and gun. But right now, you've got to have a mentality, we're going to play solid defense, we're going to push it out of our zone, we'll take our chances when they're there, but we're not going to force them and give up anything defensively. And it's a hard mentality to have, but I think that's what they've talked about all in the offseason, play with grit. They brought in a bunch of players that are going to play with grit. Well, you play good, strong, hard defense and then get on the forecheck. That's your grit game right there.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro, presented by Duncan, featuring their new location in Belle Meade, and TriStar Moving, TriStar Movers with five-star service. Hal, thanks for joining us, my friend. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, I certainly will, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks, Hal Gill here on Robbie and Retro. And look, I think it is important, just playing with a lead. I read off that stat earlier. So far, the Predators have played, you know, a little bit over 37 minutes with the lead all season long. That's not a ton through nine games. That to me is important. Getting off to a much quicker start, and not just getting off to a fast start, but converting when you get those opportunities in the first period. I think I've liked a lot of their play in the first period this year. Got to start to finish and build up a lead there.
Yeah, that's a crazy stat. And that's an interesting, you know, interesting point by Hal there to maybe be just a little bit more defensive minded. You know, it's like that balance of you don't want to play defense,
right,
but just be a little bit more, I guess, mindful of things to not give up that first goal. Think defensively a little bit.
When we come back, we'll continue to discuss the Preds. Look ahead to the game tonight against Florida. Also recap our poll question of the day as well. All that coming up. And Preds fans, make sure you're joining us on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live. Next week's special guest, former Preds player Jordan Tutu, will join us. Smashville Live airs every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season, and will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And we've gone virtual. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Had a lot of great participation on that last night with myself and Chris Mason. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
For the most part, I just really feel like you guys have a hard-working team. You're trying to create an identity. Is that something that in the dressing room, you know, it's a matter of time before you put it all together and then you can be what you want to be?
I mean, you look at these two games against Tampa, just the two recent ones. I think we're playing pretty good hockey overall. And then obviously, like you said, there's stretches where we kind of fade away, and penalty kill has obviously been a little bit of an issue going into it, just as the power play has been a little bit of an issue. So I think those two things are something we definitely have to figure out. But like I said, our 5-on-5 play, I think we're playing well, and we're playing against the defending cup champion, and we're playing even. The chances are even. It's a lot. Sometimes are even. So I think that's something that we need to obviously improve, but at the same time, we need to look at that. Something that we've been doing pretty well, and our record obviously has to be better, and it's going to have to come up throughout the season to make a playoff here. But at the same time, it's early. Like you said, this is by far the biggest turnaround of a team that I've been a part of since I came here. And it takes a little time, but at the same time, we don't have a lot of time. So we obviously have to address it. And I think we've been doing a really good job with that, especially here on this trip.
That was Philip Forsberg last night on Smashville Live with myself and former Preds goaltender, current Preds TV analyst, Chris Mason, talking about just the approach right now, early on in the season. You've had some change on the roster, and you don't have a ton of time to get things figured out. Forsberg saying, look, man, there's a lot of change. Sometimes it takes some time to get things going, but you don't have a ton of time this year.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah, he's right. 19.6% of the season will be over as of the end of this series. It is. They're just about a fifth of the way through here, so very important.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in, I've gotten a lot of pushback on this, but the player I'd like to see get a chance in the top six is Colton Sissons. He's willing to go to the dirty areas. He's a responsible two-way player and has some offensive skill. You could put him with Johansson and Arvidsson and put Philip Forsberg with Duchesne, or put him with Granlund and Duchesne on the second line. I think he deserves a shot. Now, Colton Sissons has gotten some opportunity in the top 64.
Last year he had some chances.
I'm not sure that's the route I would go, but I hear what Tyler's saying there. There needs to be more of a willingness to go to the net from some of these guys. Now, look, I think Matt Duchesne's been around the net. I think Forsberg at times this year has been around the net. Arvidsson goes to the net. So it's not everybody. Like, I mean, they're not just completely avoiding the net, but there's always, especially when you're struggling, there's more room available for guys to go to the net. That sometimes has to be the approach. You heard Hal Gill talk about maybe on the power play, you got some skill guys out there trying to make the perfect play rather than just shooting the puck. I think sometimes simplifying it on offense that way too, 5-on-5, just finding yourself around the net, that's where good things happen.
And I think I've heard Hal say that before, and other people say that before, you know. Sometimes it's like, and that's where Tampa Bay, to me, like, they can move it around magically, and it's like, whoa, look at that tic-tac-toe. But then also sometimes it's like, yeah, just shoot it right now. You know, like, they just have a feel for when to go, and it feels like the Preds are thinking too much about it, which is probably what happens when you struggle.
And we'll see if the offense can get back on track tonight for the Nashville Predators. As we've said, this is a crucial game. Florida's off to a hot start, probably going to be a team that you're fighting with for playoff positioning for the rest of this season. So any points you can grab against the Florida Panthers, some very important points. So the puck drops at around 6 o'clock tonight. You can listen to it here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, let's give a quick update on our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. This one surrounding Ryan Tannehill. Do you think the Titans can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill as their quarterback? You would like to see this poll at 100% yes. It is not, but we are going up on the poll. We started at 66%.
Okay.
It moved to 72%. It's now at 74%. Okay. So some gradual uptick on the yes. So you're talking people into it.
26% of the people need to explain themselves. So leave your explanation on the text line. We'll read the worst ones tomorrow on the show.
Thank you.
There's no, of course they can win one. Doesn't mean they will.
Yeah.
But of course they can. The easy answer is yes.
Some people are just out on Ryan Tannehill, man. They just say he's not going to get it done, which is amazing to me because I watched that guy play and, whoo, pretty good quarterback. But I just, some people feel that way. They do.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no justification, but you're right. Some people feel a certain way.
So, Joe, I know you had something that you wanted to get to now, and we missed this yesterday. I can't keep up with, like, all the national days it is, but I got on Twitter last night, and we missed a very important day yesterday.
Well, we need – where's the master calendar for – like, I'm
– That's what I want to know. Like, who's in charge?
And some of these days are very trivial. Like, I mean, it's like, hey, it's National Asparagus Day, and then Jeremy Pruitt missed it, you know, but – I mean, like, every day is something. National Cupcake Day. But, yeah, yesterday, the same thing. Last night, it's on Twitter, National Girls and Women in Sports Day. And that's a good day, you know? So, anyway, I saw that. I was like, well, why did I not know this earlier? Where is the calendar so I can keep up? So when it is a good day, an important day like that, that we can know it. I need – someone out there has got to be able to help us with. But real quick, I do – I want to shout out – women in sports here, and the problem with doing this is you're going to forget someone, but in sports, in media communications, Teresa Walker, Autumn Allison, Kayla Anderson, Emily Proud, Tatum Everett, Dawn Davenport, Kara Hammer, Lindsay Rowley, Marin Angus, Rebecca Glenn, Abigail Martin, Emily Planowitz, Kim Smith, Sarah Fetters, all do awesome jobs on various roles. Appreciate them. You know, I also want to shout out two coworkers of mine who broke the story this week about Mickey Callaway.
Yeah.
And for anybody who hasn't read it at the Athletic, the former Mets manager, the Angels pitching coach, it's disgusting. And it's also something that women in sports media, and frankly, I was not oblivious, but I have not been conscious enough about how bad this is. It's tough. It is tough for women in this business with people like Mickey Callaway doing what he did. So shout out to coworkers Katie Strang and Britt Garoli for bringing the story. And they went to school at?
Michigan State?
Yes, they did.
Mm.
Excellent work.
God, there are a lot of people who went to school at Michigan State.
I know. And they're awesome journalists, and it's a really important story. And it's interesting that it's kind of the same week, because I think we can be better allies to women in sports.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think obviously really important stuff there. Great work by those two, and we appreciate the women, not only involved in sports, but all women that we have in our lives here. Let's go to our text line. Speaking of women that are friends of the show, Heidi and Dixon has texted in, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is for you, Joe. Heidi says, sorry, Joe, I don't have calling minutes, but I appreciate the offer to debate on the air. It's technically possible to win with Ryan Tannehill. However, nobody should be betting on it. So you wanted Heidi to call in, not able to do that. But she's saying she appreciates the opportunity. It's possible to win with Ryan Tannehill, but you shouldn't bet on it.
Wait, calling minute? Wait, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. You invited her to call in the other day on the show.
So she doesn't have minutes on her phone plan, she's saying, to call in.
Yeah.
All right, how about a Zoom call?
You wanted to Zoom into the show?
I've got Ryan Porras' Zoom room, Heidi. We'll get you on Zoom.
Okay. Right. Do not give away my Zoom room to Heidi and Dixon.
You can talk about Joe's Clowney all you want. I'd like it at some point. We need an on-air debate, Heidi.
Okay.
And you know what? I wouldn't bet on either. If the word was will, I'd bet no. Not saying he's gonna win a Super Bowl with the Titans, but can? It's absolutely a no-brainer.
What about those playoff performances and the stats?
Good performance against New England.
We've had a couple texts about that.
Good performance against Baltimore. Good, but not good enough against Kansas City.
I don't think he's very good against Kansas City, but yeah.
Well, the whole team. I mean, the first three drives, they went right down the field. He was carving them up. Yeah, he didn't do well enough in the second half, and he wasn't good enough against Baltimore. So I'll give you that. Again, he hasn't done enough. He hasn't done it, but can. Again, if you're looking at the Ravens and Patriots games of last year as some kind of evidence that he can't or whatever, then you didn't watch them.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Big show coming up
tomorrow.
You looked
at the stats. Heidi.
Dan Fouts.
Heidi didn't even say it. I'm sorry, Heidi.
I know. You're just directing your anger towards
Heidi. No, I'm just interrupting you.
Dan Fouts coming Fouts! On the program tomorrow. How excited are you about this?
I'm pretty excited.
It's going to be awesome. We're looking forward to it. Dan Fouts will join us at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Get his thoughts on maybe being the greatest quarterback of all time. We'll see. It's going to be awesome.
I never said that, by the way, in all seriousness, because it's already gotten out of
here. I know.
But he is a Hall of Famer and a great quarterback.
And he
deserved to be mentioned. He deserves to be on this show.
And he'll be with us tomorrow, so make sure you're joining us for that. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.